Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
Hey, George, it's Marty.
You're sending out a beautiful picture of your ceiling fan.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, it's a lovely ceiling fan, but I suspect it can't discuss the Holy Spirit very well.
Did anybody have anything that they surprised by, anything that they contend with?
I sort of felt like his primary thing, which was a new way of thinking for me, was that he was more concerned for us to think about the group exposure to the Holy Spirit as opposed to a personal ecstatic experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's consistent with the Presbyterian assumption that the Holy Spirit works in our meetings and our assemblies and that we make our decisions as a group, because we believe the Spirit works that way through the community. What about his intentional writing this, writing about the Spirit with small s? How did that strike you? Did anything like that? How did that seem to you?
I didn't like it.
Okay. Tell me more about that, Janine.
Well, it's three in one. We capitalize God, we capitalize Jesus, and I feel we should capitalize the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I think it's disrespectful.
Did anyone discern his reason for doing that?
He tried to explain it, but I wasn't able to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You have some ideas on this yourself?
That was my reaction also. I couldn't understand his reason.
Mm-hmm.
What do you what do you think it was, Joe?
Well, from my understanding, or maybe it's my misunderstanding, but what I got from it was, by using the lowercase s, he was trying to teach that the experience of Holy Spirit is universal, not just Christian. So I think what he was trying to do was broaden and give more scope to what the Holy Spirit is about. And sometimes that seems offensive when the faith is expanded beyond what we're used to. That's what Jesus ran into with the Jewish culture when he expanded the faith to unclean people, to quote unquote sinners. And Paul ran into it when he expanded the faith beyond the Jewish community into the Gentile community, and thanks to that intrepid work, here we are. So I think that's what the author had in mind using the small s, is that we don't own the Spirit. The Spirit is loose.
Spirit with a capital S.
I don't think the author was intending us or trying to convince us to change how we write Spirit. The author was offering an idea that she had, and an experience of the Spirit that she had.
If you say Holy,
hoping to stretch our own minds.
If you're saying Holy Spirit, then the H and the S, I think, should be capitalized.
Can we think about it like Janine was saying, the Spirit with the capital S works in us to see the Spirit with a small s in the other folk.
Other.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think, too, I felt like I was very much aware that our author was from a very strong Pentecostal background. And I think he had to come to grips with something that most of us don't ever even think about, of the speaking in tongues and that kind of thing being expected of us as a sign of our salvation or whatever. And that may be some of the reason why he wanted that little S there some of the time. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, that's just not something that bothers us a whole lot.
Joe, I my Bible study is the way I do it is go through a commentary and take notes on particular books of the Bible, and my book of the Bible right now happens to be Exodus. You know, it's an Old Testament book, and so much of Exodus has some key players. You know, primarily, eventually, Moses and God. So it doesn't talk about the Spirit with a capital S, but you can see the hand of the Spirit throughout it, dealing either with Moses or with the people. I'm just covered the golden calf in that incident. And it, you know, it's sort of back and forth between God and Moses, but it's also you see God's hand on the people. So that in one sense is how the Spirit covers all, but it goes further than that because we go back into Egypt, and we see God's hand in the action of the Pharaoh and. And indeed, the Egyptian people, you know, the Egyptians prior to the Israelites leaving, they were told to ask their neighbors to give them stuff. Well, that sounds a bit crazy because, you know, here the slaves were asking the free people to give them substantial stuff, which turned out to be the gold that was used in the tabernacle, actually the gold that was used in the golden calf. But I see the hand of the Spirit saying, go ahead and do that to the Egyptian people. So I think that's a part of what our author was getting to in terms of the expansiveness of And the author of my commentary emphasizes how throughout Exodus, it's talking about God's creation, not only in his chosen people, but through them to all the people of the world, which again, I think is an expansion of the work of the Spirit. So you know, I just passed that on because I was thinking about that as I was reading through Exodus.
So is this his way of bringing the Spirit down to our level, that the Spirit works around all of us at our level more than God and you know, the Father and the Son? Is that what he's saying?
I think it's both and.
Okay.
I've never done much good in separating the work of the Trinity.
Well, let me give you an example. I think it was the Spirit that caused Marty to say something about our neighborhood groups, because that that caused us to talk about it. And I think we're all a little bit more clear, or maybe more confused, but hopefully you have some tools to move to the next step individually, because yeah. Marty just happened to think about saying that. I don't think that was just incidental. I think maybe the Spirit led Marty to do that so that we can move on a little bit.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Didn't the author also make a point? One of his foundational points was of three. One was that the Spirit is in every person.
Yes.
The Spirit of God is in every person. I think if we affirm that, that makes a difference in how we look at one another. That makes a difference in how we view people, even of other faiths and other cultures. If we would affirm that the Spirit is in every person.
Even other people on this other side of the political divide.
I know it calls on me to treat and even think of others with more respect, and I often do.
I tell you, you know, I find that some of my best conversations about politics are with people who are about as far left as I am right. And I've got some very good friends that where we can talk about such things. The thing that always amazes me is how often our objectives match. It is our means that are different.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Well, I don't really think we have to be at war with all those louses on the other side.
Okay. Well, I would say what allows a conversation like that is a recognition of the at least the value of the other person, which you could say is what we're talking about, the Spirit in all. Because if you do that, it doesn't devolve into, no, you're wrong, I'll tell you what's right, I don't want to listen to what you have to say, kind of thing.
Okay. Is the Spirit something that we are each given, whether we accept it or not? If you say that it's in everyone.
I think that's what the author was saying.
Huh. Okay.
Certainly we're not more powerful than the Spirit.
No.
And I mean, that's something that we express all the time. The Spirit put it on my heart, or I was overcome in the Spirit. You know, those are experiences of the Spirit taking hold and even even usurping our defenses and our control. So I would say yes. Spirits in every person, even those who do not wish it.
Wow, that's...
Which is, I think, confusing, because that goes beyond the uniqueness of being brothers and sisters in Christ. In as we look at the, especially Acts and the evangelical steps that were taken by Paul and Peter and others, they come to the point of accepting the Spirit. We think of in Pentecost. So there's a certain specialness that we gain by giving our lives to Christ that opens the Spirit to us, that probably has more to do, like Joe says, it's hard to differentiate the three persons of the Trinity, more to do with Christ in our life, that is probably different than what we're talking about, the Spirit. I like to think of it as that God created all people, and therefore God does not forsake all people, and that can be demonstrated in God having some connection with all people, which I think is this generalized spirit that we're talking about, as opposed to Christ being in us, which is more Christian. But I think where we go wrong is to say, well, we got the spirit and you don't, and therefore, you know, you're evil and I'm just real good.
Right.
I think of like Mother Teresa in the slums in India and how she reached out to those people. That is sort of beyond anything I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of sobering to think that how would we treat people if the person who cuts us off in line in traffic, my first reaction is to get mad at them. And I don't know, maybe we're talking about different things, but I think I could think about a way of trying to think of other people differently sometimes.
Hmm. Well, I think the example of Mother Teresa, she ministered to whoever came, and they're mostly people from another religion than hers. But she did that recognizing that God loved them, maybe even more than God loved her in her estimation, because the Bible says that God has preferential treatment to those who are the poor and the outcast. So in a sense, that's saying that she saw the Spirit of God in them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were Hindu or whatever.
Sure.
From something she wrote, I thought she kind of believed that she had all of God's love that she needed, and he had plenty to concentrate on these people who needed it more than she felt she needed it. She was blessed, and she was completely at ease with God giving a lot of attention to she thought needed it more than she did. I think she was very comfortable with her mission and her life. Not comfortable in the sense that she didn't need to work hard to do what she wanted to do, but she was comfortable that she was doing God's work.
Yeah.
She served as him here on earth to get to all those people.
Conduit?
That's it. Yes, conduit. Is that right?
Sounds good. Right.
And, you know, conduit is a container. You know, for wire, if you're familiar with electrical work. But I think of the conduit is of course the vessel, but I think the power with the conduit is the love that ran through her life to them.
Right.
And I think that's the work of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the God of love.
Pray us out, Joe.
O Spirit of the living God, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful for your urges and your nudges, the compelling yearnings that you put within us. We thank you for the urge that we had to be together today. We thank you that in this time of isolation that you, O Spirit, gather us in ways deeper than physical presence. We thank you for the love. Thank you for the hope. We thank you for the meaning of these gatherings. We ask that you would continue to be with us and guide us and teach us as we live our lives in struggling times. Keep us safe. Keep us joyful in your service. Amen.
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 This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.
Hi.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye.